Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Empowering Dietitians podcast, where each week I dive into a specific topic to help you feel more confident and connected to your work as a dietitian. This week, I'm kicking off an archive series because I just got married this weekend, and that means I'm modeling the boundaries that I speak of so much on here, and I'm unplugging for a nice long honeymoon road trip across the country. Instead of going dark on here for 4 weeks, I've chosen some of my top episodes from my archives. I know archived episodes won't be everyone's thing, so if you're looking for new episodes, I'll be back mid-October with those. In the meantime, I really think you'll like this one. It's from last year, and it outlines my messy dietitian journey, like how much uncertainty I faced, and how many times I pivoted and changed my mind and grappled with what the heck I wanted to do with this degree. I chose this one because it's a really good reminder for us that as type A dietitians, a little mess can be pretty good for us. So if you're feeling a little lost and confused as a dietitian, give this one a listen or a re-listen. I think you'll really like it. Okay, so I couldn't release an episode the day before my birthday and have it not be a birthday episode. I know a lot of people who don't get very excited about birthdays. Justin, my boyfriend, is one of them. And I get the perspective. Celebrating the day that I just happened to be born is kind of silly. But here's the thing. Life is so short. And every year, but I think especially this year, so many heavy things have happened or finally overdue have been brought to the surface of our consciousness that we as humans need to celebrate the little things, the silly things. During this pandemic, in a 2 or 3 week span, 4 people in my life died. I watched the mental health of those around me suffer as we all grappled with grief and fear and isolation. And a lot of times, there wasn't anything I could do to make it better. So I'm doing the only thing I can do. I'm celebrating having the privilege of being alive, taking a day out of the stress and anxiety to take care of myself and celebrate myself. We need that too. We need a day for ourselves now more than ever. So tomorrow I'm going to be baking something delicious. It'll involve chocolate and probably peanut butter, that much I know. And I'm taking the day off of work, schoolwork, every kind of work, to really relax. Today, though, I want to talk more about my journey as a dietitian. I thought about doing a 31 things I've learned in my 31 years of life type of episode, but that sounded way too intense. 31 things is a lot. And I was talking about this with my personal trainer, Mark, and he suggested my journey as a dietitian, which I do talk a little bit about in episode 1, if you haven't caught that yet. What I haven't talked about as much, though, is how much uncertainty my journey has involved, how much bouncing back and forth and around I've had. It's funny because I tend to be a very sure person. That's actually not completely true. I can be absurdly indecisive, mostly about like what movie I want to watch on Netflix or Hulu. Just ask Justin. But when I do make a decision, that's usually it. It's made. I stand by it. And it took a while for me to learn that when it comes to life in general, and especially my career, that wasn't going to work out so well. A lot of dietitians put pressure on themselves to have it all figured out right away. Know your niche, know your path, know your goals, know your plan, know everything. Today, I'm going to tell you how many times I was so sure of my plan, like so amazingly confident about it, and how each and every time it wasn't it. My 20s was basically one giant 10-year span of throwing like cooked spaghetti of my plans against a wall to see which strands would stick. I thought I knew where I was heading, but really, I had no clue. And I want you to know that if you're feeling lost or unsure or like you're driving around in circles in your career and you don't really know where you ultimately want to be, or maybe you make it to where you thought you wanted to be and it doesn't feel like you thought it would, you're not alone. It's okay. That messiness is part of the process. When I first became a nutrition and dietetics student, I was 20 years old. And my advisor asked me what I wanted to do with my life. And I said I wanted to become a certified diabetes educator, and I wanted to work with people with diabetes, and I also wanted to work with weight management. Those were my passions. The reason I was so passionate about diabetes specifically was because my grandfather had diabetes, and I watched his health decline over the years. His diet became more and more restrictive as he received more and more diagnoses. I thought, this is preventable. He didn't take care of his blood sugars for a long time, and now this is happening. I can help people like him. I don't actually really know what drew me to the weight management side of my passion specifically, like why I was so interested in working with people on weight loss at the beginning of my dietetics journey, but I can only imagine it was tied up in my own fat phobia and personal struggles with body image that I had yet to really navigate and unpack. I specifically remember being introduced to the book Intuitive Eating. And for anyone who's new to my page or the podcast, you'll know that I am now a certified intuitive eating dietitian. But in school, I was introduced to the book Intuitive Eating and the Health at Every Size movement. I think maybe a professor suggested the book Intuitive Eating, but can I make a confession? The only thing I really remember is taking one look at the cover of the book and thinking, oh my God, that looks so 90s. And I wrote it off as being outdated. Never even picked it up. And as for the Health at Every Size movement, when I first heard about it, I distinctly remember thinking that it was irresponsible and unhealthy. So if that's where you are right now, know that you're not alone. I've been there too. Neither approach was really taught to me in school. They were only ever mentioned peripherally at best. So I easily wrote them both off and never thought twice about them. So there I was, a nutrition student, convinced that I was going to specialize in diabetes and weight management, that was like it for my career. Then, probably around my senior year, I found out about supermarket dietitians, and I thought, wow, that sounds amazing. That's what I want to do. It sounded so dynamic. I could share recipes, I could counsel, I could give presentations, I could work with all different ages, and I'd be right there in the supermarket to help people read labels and make better choices. It became my dream job. I did have a very, very, very short internship rotation. I'm talking like 3 days with a retail dietitian, but I loved every second of it. So when I landed a job as a supermarket dietitian after the internship, my boyfriend at the time, now ex, said to me, what do you do when you land your dream job right out of school? And I said, I don't really know, but I'm not going to turn it down just because I got it right away. So there I am, I'm 24 years old, and I'm a retail dietitian. By this point, I had already decided that I didn't want to become a certified diabetes educator anymore. So as confident as I felt back as a new dietetic student, within just a few years, I had completely changed my mind on that one. So what was I dreaming about instead? Don't get me wrong, I wasn't dissatisfied as a retail dietitian. I was actually really happy with it. But I started to get really into fitness, and I thought, wow, wouldn't it be so great to have a fitness background in addition to my RD credential? So I decided to become a personal trainer, and I was so gung-ho about it, which I find so ironic because back in school, I thought sports nutrition was the least interesting thing in the world. I wanted nothing to do with it. If you had told me at age 22 that by age 24, I'd be studying to become a trainer, I would have laughed at you. The closest I ever got to playing a sport was being second exhibition on my 8th grade tennis team. For anyone who doesn't know, exhibition means that my score never counted, and I only got to play if there happened to be a court available. I was basically on the bench and played for fun. And then I also had a few months with Ultimate Frisbee as a freshman in college, which ended when I got a concussion from running into a guy's chest. And I also decided that I didn't like their 10 p.m. practice times. Crazy. But fast forward through all of that, and by age 25, I became a personal trainer, and I was so excited to incorporate it into my work at my retail position. I was going to train people and lead fitness classes on the side. I was going to do all the things with this credential. Ask me how many people I've trained since then. Go ahead. ask. It's zero. Zero people. Because a year or two after I became a trainer, I decided what I really wanted was to go to culinary school. Now, to be fair, this is a dream I had for a large portion of my life. Before I became a dietetics student, before I even knew what a dietitian was, I toyed with culinary school to become a pastry chef, and I always wanted to open up a bakery. And then I was working in retail as a dietitian. I thought, man, it would be so cool to have a stronger culinary background, and maybe one day I can actually open up a bakery. I mean, a healthy bakery, of course, because desserts are great, but only if they're made from whole, unprocessed ingredients, right? And preferably if the sugar has been reduced by like at least 50%. That was where I was at that point in my life. Just 4 or so years ago. Wasn't that long. Are you dizzy yet from all of the bouncing around I did? Do you see how many times I changed my mind about what I wanted to do and what I wanted to specialize in and where I was going? But wait, we are not done yet. So, at this point, it's 2017, and I'm enrolled in culinary school. Around the same time, I was formally, officially introduced to intuitive eating, as in, I actually sat down and read the book. And if we pause and take a look at where my counseling philosophy was at that point, because I was doing a lot of counseling at my day job, I had already moved to what I thought was a non-diet approach. I was very into mindfulness and removing guilt and shame around eating, or at least I thought I was. I didn't quite understand how to do that according to an intuitive eating approach, which you can see from my opinions and thoughts about how to open up a bakery as a dietitian, but I was dabbling in it. And I wasn't really on board with the whole weight loss thing anymore because it just seemed to trigger my clients' anxieties and insecurities and frustrations. So I was moving in that direction, but remember all of that disordered thoughts that I had about opening up that clean and unprocessed bakery? Clearly, I wasn't quite there yet. But the more I learned about intuitive eating and the more I healed my own relationship with food, my dreams started to evolve. I still had a dream of opening up a bakery, but I thought, how amazing would it be to have a place where I could have a bakery, but also have a meeting and community space where I could have meal sessions with clients over baked goods and help them feel peaceful around food and give themselves permission to eat without guilt, but then also hold group classes and meditations and really approach health holistically. By this point, I was practicing intuitive eating pretty fully, both personally and professionally, and I was getting ready to pursue the certification process. The scale in my office was collecting dust. I was embracing a weight-inclusive or health-at-every-size approach years after first writing an office something I would never do. I was also on my own confidence journey, and that's specifically what I talk about in the first episode of this podcast, which I'll link to in the show notes, or you can scroll down in your podcast listening app and check out episode one for yourself. So in 2019, about a year and a half ago, I decided that I was going to start a side business, not a bakery. That's very much not a side hustle. It's very much like a whole hustle. But I was going to do a holistic approach to well-being through one-on-one client work. And that was when I switched my personal Instagram over to a business account with the handle Spirit and Roots. I don't know if any of you remember that, if you've been with me for that long. I wasn't sure if I saw myself one day down the road opening up a storefront and community center like I had described, but I was open to the possibility and I thought the new handle captured that. As I was working through who my ideal client was, I was in the shower at the time because of course I was. It's when like the light bulb moments happen, right? The biggest pivot of all hit me. I knew I wanted to work with women who struggled with confidence. I knew that I wanted to go just beyond food, to really get to well-being overall. I wanted to help them with body image and the pressure to eat and look a certain way. My ideal client struggled with perfectionism and was prone to stress. And as I thought of who that person was, who I wanted to help, all I thought about was my own struggles with confidence and perfectionism and body image as a dietitian and nutrition student, and all of the new dietitians at my job that I trained who struggled with the same things, or the students who I mentored and precepted over the years. And how there was this common thread of feeling overwhelmed and overworked and undervalued and full of self-doubt. feeling so much pressure from society to look and act the part of a dietitian and feeling exhausted from it. And no one was out there supporting us in this way. And that's when it hit me. I wanted to work with dietitians. I wanted to work with you. So I switched my handle from Spirit and Roots to empowering.dietitians, which leads me to today. Today, I'm working with some amazing dietitians through my business. I'm also pursuing my master's degree in clinical mental health counseling because I want to go above and beyond the surface of these issues. Counseling is my passion. It has always been the strongest part of my day job, and it has become clear to me that holistic well-being has to mean nurturing the mind and spirit, whatever the spirit means to you, just as much as the physical self. And I don't just feel passionate about this path. I feel connected to it deeply. The certainty in my decisions isn't the same. In the past, it's been enthusiasm, but now it's alignment. There's a difference. But I didn't get there overnight. It took years, and maybe I'm still not done. I'm definitely going to pivot again. I'm definitely going to evolve, and so will my career. But what at once felt like throwing spaghetti against a wall now feels like navigating home. Like every step of the way, I start to recognize more and more of the scenery around me, and I don't feel lost anymore. So to close this episode out, I want to share a few things that I've learned over the past 11 years of being a nutrition student and dietitian, and thinking I knew what I wanted and being proven wrong many, many times. Number one, give yourself time. It's okay to be pulled in 1,000 different directions. You do not have to niche down from day one. And in fact, I would argue that for many of us, that can actually do more harm than good. We need time exploring and experiencing. And while we're on the subject of giving yourself time, don't feel like you have to pivot as soon as something feels off. I bounced around a lot. Looking back on it, I really didn't sit with any one thing for any length of time before going off and chasing something new. I can't help but wonder if I would have found my passion sooner, if I would have aligned my work with my values sooner, had I sat with myself more, gotten more in touch with my intuition, and not been rushing around so much. Sit quietly with yourself. Take your time. There is no rush. Number two, whether you niche down early or not, be open to pivots. You don't have to rush into pivoting like I did for so many years. Give it time to make sure it's what makes sense for you, but be open to it. You will experience the pivot. If you reach a goal that you thought you wanted and then realize that it's not actually fulfilling, pivot. If you reach a goal and you love it for a period of time, but now it doesn't feel so right anymore, you can pivot. You can discover something new that suddenly feels right and in alignment with your values, and you can pivot towards it. You get to change your mind and your career whenever you want. Again, don't rush it, but expect that it's going to happen. It's just very difficult to know at age 20 or 25, or I would argue for some people even older than that, exactly what you want to do for the rest of your career. Number three, let some doors close behind you. This can feel scary. I actually am still a certified personal trainer right now because for years, even after I knew I didn't really want to use it professionally, I maintained it. Letting it expire felt like giving up or quitting. And any perfectionist out there knows that quitting is hard for us. What if in a few years I decide that I want it again? What if it's a mistake to let it lapse? I spent so much money obtaining and maintaining it over the years. How can I stop now? Those are all the questions that I used to justify it. But we can't make room for new doors to open if we keep our hands and feet in all the doors we're too afraid to see close. So I am currently technically a certified personal trainer, but as of October this year, I will not be. That's when it expires. And I'm going to let it happen. I'm letting the door close because there are a bunch of other doors that I want to see open, and they're never going to if I'm too busy clinging to the past and what no longer serves me. And number four, don't begrudge your quote-unquote mistakes. I spent a lot of money on trainings and certifications that I don't necessarily see myself using. I spent an easy $800 on the trainer certification plus hundreds more on continuing education to keep it up. But it did give me a lot of new knowledge. It counted toward my dietitian continuing education credits to make my first cycle as a dietitian a breeze. And it helped me realize something that I don't actually want to pursue. It was a process of elimination. I also dropped close to $20,000 on culinary school. That's more than I've ever spent on anything to date. And through it, I met some of the most amazing women out there. My class was 11 women, and we are as close as sisters. I also had an amazing time at school. I learned so many new things, and it completely changed the way I cook and my relationship with food for the better. It was by far, it was the only $20,000 I've ever spent in one shot, but it was the best. I'm not saying to throw your money around because, like, or acting like it doesn't matter. If you've ever been on a sales call with me, you know that I fully respect being intentional and responsible with your investments. But I am saying that if you do invest in yourself, whether it's time or money or some other resource, and it winds up not panning out, focus on what you gained from it instead of what you didn't. You learned something. I saw this cartoon on Instagram the other day. It was this person on the edge of a cliff, and the cliff was labeled here. And across the precipice was another ledge labeled there. And this person wanted to get across to the other side. They wanted to go from here to there. And this person said, "That is quite a big gap from here to there. It's a good thing I have enough mistakes to build a wisdom bridge." And the person starts laying down these blocks that are each labeled a mistake to bridge the gap so they could walk across. The person ends by saying on the other side, "Yes, I might have been stuck in the same place forever if I'd made no mistakes." I know as perfectionists, we don't like to make mistakes. We don't like to get it wrong. We don't like to not know. The uncertainty is really hard. We want to have our lives and careers all figured out so that we can feel confident and pursue our goals. But we're going to get it wrong. We're going to hit dead ends. That isn't a waste of time. It's just part of the journey. And you are who you are because of it. I always grapple with this idea of regret. I've made a lot of mistakes in my short life. And yet, despite doing things I wish I hadn't, hurting people in ways that I can't take back, investing money in things that didn't pan out, I have no regrets. Sometimes I think I do. I'll think to myself, man, if I had been more connected to myself, more sure of myself, more self-aware, I wouldn't have hurt this person, or I wouldn't have brought harm, or I wouldn't have suffered or caused suffering or wasted time or money, or, and the list goes on. But though I'm not proud of every decision I have made in my 31 years on this earth, I have made sure to learn from them, each of them, and do better. Because ultimately, I needed to do all of those things to become who I am today. And I'm going to need to make and learn from a whole lot more mistakes in order to become the person that I'm becoming. And I promise, so will you. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Empowering Dietitians podcast. If you're looking for more content like this to help you overcome burnout, imposter feelings, and limiting beliefs that are holding you back from feeling confident and passionate about your work, grab my free 10-day journal for dietitians at www.empoweringdietitians.com/free. In 10 short days, I'll guide you through your first steps of overcoming burnout and imposter feelings and get you on the path to feeling more confident as a dietitian. Again, the link to grab your copy is www.empoweringdietitians.com/free. And one last thing.
If you found this episode valuable, it would mean the world to me if you would share it with your dietitian friends and leave a positive review. Those two things help this podcast reach more dietitians who need to hear these messages. And together, we can really start to change the landscape of our profession for the better.